Welcome to ICTJ Dispatch, a new podcast series from the ICTJ to bring you expert political, social, and legal analysis of recent developments in transitional societies where ICTJ works. Today, I'm speaking with Eduardo Gonzalez, director of ICTJ's Truth and Memory program, who has just returned from a mission to Nepal, where it appears major decisions could be about to be made concerning how the country will begin to reckon with its past. Eduardo, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Anna.
So Nepal is still deciding how it will be addressing questions of truth and justice in the wake of its civil war. After 10 years, fighting between the government of Nepal and Maoists brought fear and terror into the daily lives of many Nepalese. And after the peace agreement in 2006, there were significant efforts to establish a commission on the disappeared, as well as a truth commission that would begin to bring forward the history of the conflict. And I understand last week, after extended delays, proposals for a truth commission and this commission on enforced disappearances were in fact tabled in Parliament, signaling that this could in fact be a critical moment for truth seeking. Eduardo, you have just returned from Nepal. Could you give us an overview of the moment that Nepal is at this point in establishing a plan for a transitional justice in the future?
Well, the situation is the following. The government and sectors of civil society have been jousting about the provisions for this Truth and Reconciliation Commission and the Commission on Disappearances for the last 7 years. The crux of the problem is quite simple. Some of the political parties have an interest that the Truth Commission is an instrument to avoid criminal prosecutions, and therefore, during the last 7 years, these sectors have introduced in the bills for the TRC some provision facilitating the recommendation of amnesties to persons who committed war crimes, which is a provision that obviously the victims and their advocates reject. So what has happened during the last 7 years is that there have been a number of disputes in Parliament, and then that these pieces of legislation have been litigated all the way up to the Supreme Court. Last year, one of these pieces of legislation, which at that point was an ordinance establishing the commission and the Commission on Disappearances, was rejected by the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ordered the government to do two things. One, to create a task force, a technical task force, to write the definitive bill, and two, to make sure that amnesties would never be given to international crimes. So the government did establish a task force that complied with the court's decisions, but then the parties were apparently unsatisfied with the work of the task force and created another one that revised the work of the first one. If this sounds intricate, it is because it was intricate. And the question is always whether there is sufficient political willingness among policymakers in Nepal to actually comply with the Truth Commission that will ensure the right to the truth that victims have, instead of a Truth Commission that is there to satisfy the interests of some of the parties that are related to impunity.
And as I mentioned, you have just returned from Nepal, where ICTJ has an office, and we've been working for several years in the country. What were you doing on the mission, and what were some of your observations during your time there?
Well, I arrived in Nepal when they were precisely at the moment in which the first task force I referred to had issued its recommendations, and the second task force was put in place basically to revise the recommendations of the first one. And of course, it was a moment of significant political exchange and doubts about what to do exactly. And what my role was to explain to the different parties that independently of the political anxieties that existed in Nepal among some of the parties, the point was that legally they could not insist in introducing a clause that ran against the explicit decision of the Supreme Court. and that in any case, if they wanted to introduce any kind of amnesty for international crimes, that amnesty would be automatically invalid outside of the borders of Nepal, and that would not solve their problems at all. So my view was, and I shared this with some of the policy makers, was that they have to understand that their problem has nothing to do with the right to the truth of the victims, that is, with the existence of a truth commission. Their problem has to do with what will happen with criminal prosecutions in the country. And if that is the problem, then probably what they could try to do is to pass a law on a truth-only truth commission. That is, a truth commission that basically establishes what happened, does not make recommendations of amnesty or any recommendation, for that matter, related to justice, and that they take, as policymakers and as responsible leaders of the country, the adequate steps to have a discussion about what will be the criminal justice policy in Nepal. That was the discussion. I cannot say that it was enormously successful, because by the end of the week, they had submitted to Parliament a new bill which contradicted, at least in the face of what the bill says, the mandates of the Supreme Court. So the new bill still has some provisions that read like an amnesty or a potential amnesty for war crimes. And the victims made their disagreement very explicit. They demonstrated in front of Parliament the day this bill was lodged, and they were arrested. And so the contradiction in Nepal continues to be whether the existing Truth Commission bill will or will not have some provision on amnesty.
And just to close, Eduardo, could you give us some of your thoughts about what ICCJ will be doing in the future, in the coming months, as these developments continue to unfold?
Well, I think that our added value as an international organization in Nepal is to try to bring practical solutions to the table. Clearly, in Nepal, the way in which the discussion has taken place has stagnated any possible advance regarding the rights of the victims, because some of the politicians, at least, do want some kind of amnesty, and they do not have the law in their favor, because the Supreme Court has made its position very clear. On the other side, the victims want a commission that will lead to criminal justice, but that has probably very little chance of passing Parliament. So what I think we have to do is to try to bring experiences from other countries, ideas, principles to the table to try to find alternatives. What those alternatives exactly will be, we cannot know by now, but probably any alternative will have to affirm that the victims have a right to the truth, independently of what exactly is the availability of the justice system right now. Particularly, I think that the victims that have this right are, first of all, the relatives of the disappeared, who have been waiting for the last 7 years for some kind of solution. Everybody has knowledge in Nepal that there were disappearances. In fact, in some cases, people have very detailed information about where the bodies may be, etc., but there has not been action. So in reality, I think that we as ICTJ have to insist on these points, have to insist on the right to the truth, and try to help the different stakeholders to coalesce around some kind of solution. And I hope that is what we are going to be doing during the next few months.
Well, Eduardo, thanks for talking with us today.
Thanks for inviting me.
And to all of our listeners, thanks for listening to this episode of ICTJ Dispatch.